Earlier today, U.S. Airways got a legal break that could resuscitate its bottom line, but stir up trouble with its labor force. A federal bankruptcy judge canceled the collective bargaining agreement between the struggling airline and the International Association of Machinists. The union and the company are still trying to reach an agreement, but the future of U.S. Airways is, up in the air. Joining us to talk about today's ruling is Scott McCartney, middle seat columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He's with us from his office in Dallas, and nice to have you back on the program.
Good to be back with you, Neil.
If these two parties can't reach an agreement, what happens?
Well, they've basically given up trying to reach an agreement through negotiations. The union has agreed to put the company's last best offer out to a vote of the membership with results back by Friday, January 21st. So they have basically 2 weeks of labor limbo to see what's going to happen.
And what happens if they reject it?
You know, it's really up to the individual union members. If there's debate legally over whether the union could strike or not, but there's general agreement that any kind of labor action would probably be the end of U.S. Airways. So it's an incredibly tough spot to put workers in. They have to vote to basically eliminate a lot of their jobs, which is a tough thing to vote for. And then after that, they have to keep putting up a good front, or they could lose all their jobs.
And this all as the result of the bankruptcy of U.S. Airways. They can then take this this contract, which they negotiated with the machinists, to court and say, look, we can't possibly agree to this anymore.
Right, and that's it. And the judge today just basically ripped up the old contract and agreed to impose what the company wants if they don't otherwise reach an agreement.
And there have been people concerned about U.S. Airways' ability to honor tickets purchased in advance. These are machinists. Is there any reason to worry about safety?
I don't think there's a reason to worry about safety. I think there's a reason to worry about cancellations and delays and things like that if workers put up a front. But, you know, these are professionals. There are real strict standards on what work needs to be done when. There are a lot of checks and balances. Pilots aren't going to fly planes if things don't get fixed on them. So I wouldn't worry as much about that as whether the airline can keep going. There are some serious financial deadlines coming up next week, and then the labor deadline, which now moves out to the 21st, and things have got to go right for U.S. Air on all of these fronts, or they're in real danger of having to start selling assets or liquidate.
Mm-hmm. Well, news elsewhere in the airline industry today, this week rather, yesterday, Delta announced substantially cheaper fares. Today, American Airlines said they would match them. What's going on here?
You know, this is a real historic change in how we buy air travel, and I just think it's fascinating. We have now gotten to the point where airlines are giving up on the gouge class fare, if you will, and finally coming to the realization that they have to offer better value to business travelers. This has been forced on them by discount carriers, been forced on them by the Internet, been forced on them by travelers who are willing to buy cheap tickets with Saturday night stays to avoid paying $2,000 for a last-minute trip. And they're finally starting to put something that makes a lot more sense in place.
What do these structures look like? I mean, how much lower are they?
Well, for the unrestricted coach fare, it's about 50% lower. Delta has capped its fares at $4.99 each way, so essentially $1,000 is the most you'd pay for a coach round trip. And interestingly, capped first-class fares at only $1,200. They think they can sell a lot more first-class seats as opposed to just giving them away for free to elite-level frequent travelers. So, you know, half on some routes, some tickets on the low end may actually be a bit more. The whole thing gets a whole lot flatter and looks more like what you'd see in fare structure from JetBlue or Southwest or another discount carrier.
We're talking about the airline industry with Scott McCartney of Washington, of the Wall Street Journal. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let me ask you, Delta certainly and American to a lesser degree, both these airlines are, neither is making money, let's put it that way.
No, not close.
Slashing their fares this way, what's that going to do?
You know, in the short run, a lot of people think it will hurt their revenue. They see it as a necessary step they had to take. And Delta, and I think there's some truth to this. They've been testing this in Cincinnati, and Americans been testing in Miami, and it may not be nearly as bad as you might think. The whole thing turns on whether the lower fares actually stimulate more travel, particularly business travel. And whether people who were paying $300 to make a business trip will actually step up for a little more convenience and pay $500 or $1,000, in which case be revenue positive for the airline.
Do you see this as a seasonal adjustment that will go away sometime in the not-too-distant future, or as a structural change?
I think this is a permanent structural change if it lasts. I mean, we really don't know if it'll survive. We haven't seen great retaliation of any sort from carriers that don't like it, but that could still come and force Delta to retreat. But I think this is a permanent repricing of the industry. The discount carriers are going to be there. The big carriers need to do this to try and slow down their growth. But it's hard to see unless the economy, you know, just goes gangbusters and they can start pricing seats for thousands of dollars again. It's hard to see those days coming back.
Mm-hmm. And as you look at this, though, I mean, they're not exactly flying their planes half empty. The only way they make money on this is if there's enormous demand and more flights, right?
Yes, it really rests in the shift of the mix of travelers. Can you sell fewer tickets perhaps at the $200 level to vacationers and sell more seats to business travelers who will come back to you from the JetBlues and Southwests and all? It's about winning back business travelers and stimulating some new business travel and getting them off of cheap tickets. There's a glut of seats out there, and airlines have had to just slash prices to drastic levels to fill those seats. But they're really filling them with $200 passengers, and they can't make money at that level.
Another great complaint of many passengers is that no matter what price the seat may be, service is terrible.
Yes, that's right. Although service probably seems not quite as terrible if you're paying half what you were yesterday.
That bag of pretzels suddenly looks like a filet mignon.
That's right. Expectations go down depending on what you're paying.
Do you think in 5 years, 10 years' time that these legacy carriers, these big the airlines that we all grew up with, became familiar with, that they're going to be around, or are they going to fall victim to these discount airlines?
I think some will be around and some will fall victim. I think there's a real evolutionary change going on in the airline business. It started with deregulation in 1978, and you know, we've seen some names disappear: Eastern, Pan Am, Piedmont, all kinds of great names in aviation. And I think we'll over time see a few more disappear. And it's a, you know, there's a life cycle to the airline business, and new guys will come and old guys will fall, and the new guys will become old guys.
As we talked about the last time you were on the program, one of the big distinctions between these legacy carriers and their discount counterparts is the pensions that these legacy carriers have. The startup airlines, they don't have exactly anybody retired yet. With U.S. Airways, what's going to happen with their pension system?
Well, as of today, the pensions that they had remaining were killed by the bankruptcy judge. They had earlier in the first bankruptcy done away with the pilots' pension program. Now the rest of the work groups today, their pensions were turned over to the government. And so, you know, to compete with the discount airlines, they're having to adopt their pay structures.
And just as a reminder, when those pensions are turned over to the government, they're guaranteed, but they're guaranteed at a much lower level for many people.
Particularly for pilots. For some of the work groups, it's probably not quite as bad because their pay is just not nearly as high.
Scott McCartney, thanks as always for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Scott McCartney, the middle seat columnist for the Wall Street Journal, and he was speaking with us from his office in Dallas. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.